Alrighty. Thank y'all for coming this morning. Growth class. Growth class, growth class. I believe we're growing. Growing in the things of the Lord and learning how to pray. Psalms 91. Let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity that has been presented before us today. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, sir, that you would be our teacher, that you would enlighten us, bring revelation to us as we share your word and as we share the revelation that you've given Joseph Prince. Thank you for the opportunity to glean from that this morning. Thank you for the eyes of our understanding being enlightened so we can know you better, know your word better, know your will better for us. And I just thank you for it. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Okay, this time is chapter 9, and we're doing the verse, Psalms 91, verse 13. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underneath. Who would have ever thought there could be this much gleaned out of Psalms 91? It's been pretty tremendous, I think. Last week, let's see, we just did that first paragraph. Let's do the next paragraph. It says, in Christ, this is in the first page of the chapter. In Christ, we have authority over the devil and all his cohorts. In Christ, we have authority to tread upon the lion and the cobra. The fowler's snare shall be fooled and the hunter shall be hunted. Our role in this increasingly dangerous world isn't to be passive and indifferent. We're not called to be sitting ducks waiting to be devoured by the roaring lion. We are endued with power and authority to hunt down the roaring lion. That in itself is tremendous. It's a tremendous paragraph. You know, it's in Christ we have the authority. We have to realize that. It's in Christ. It's not in ourselves. And so it's important to have that revelation in our hearts of who we are in Christ. Do you agree? So important to have that revelation, to be able to stand in the authority that's been given unto us. Let's go on. The Bible records the account of one who slew a lion, so let's study that account to see what happened. Judges 14 tells us how Samson was in the vineyards of Timnah when suddenly a young lion came roaring against him. Judges 14:5. Now pause with me for a second. What would you do if you were suddenly ambushed by a lion? How about a dog? I mean, you know, you think, what would you do? Say Jesus? I think I'd say, oh, Jesus. Psychologists tell us that there are essentially three possible responses that are instinctively triggered when a person is unexpectedly thrust into an extremely dangerous situation. You either fight, take flight, or freeze. What do you think your response would be? Anybody want to make a comment to this?
You know, my response to it never happens. as far as that situation.
Well, or any dangerous... Well, now we'll talk about any dangerous situation. I know what you're referring to, the lion. I think we don't know until we get in that situation.
My mind tells me that I would take flight, but yeah. I know me, I freeze. Yeah. See, I did that.
Freeze. Yeah.
When I walked out the back door one day, and it was a long black snake laying out.
Oh, gosh.
And I froze. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm standing here. I gotta move. So then I went running back in
that house
screaming.
You froze and then you took flight.
Yeah.
No, you wasn't.
I
want to
see it different.
It was. The stern was there. He said, what is wrong with you? He said, I thought you broke your leg.
Within the last month, my son-in-law was on a call. And he rounded the corner of a house, and there was a bear cub. And immediately, the mother bear charged him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had no clue that the animals were in the backyard. so he ran, and it was, and the bear charged him.
Wow.
And he knows enough. That's what he deals with, his wildlife all the time. And even though he told me he knew, he thought he was going to have a heart attack.
Mm.
And he just, he folded up and hit the ground. And that bear sniffed all around him.
He kind of took like a fetal position.
He just folded up.
And
a ball laid on
him. Oh, okay.
That's the second time I've known that's happened to him. But, I would have not known to do that. You know.
But he was trained to do that, right?
I guess he's trained himself. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You know, Carol, I've heard that before too about a bear. If he charges you, lay still. You don't move. That they won't bother you because they like killing their prey instead of taking them.
Of course, I think it just about did him in. He said he thought it was going to have a heart attack.
I can't imagine. I don't want
to. He said that bear sniffed all around.
Did he say how long he had to lay there before he left?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, God kept him in that.
Yes. He's one of the ones I plead the blood of Jesus. I pray Psalms 91 over.
Yeah, so see, that's good. Yeah, that's a perfect example.
So that's like when I was down in the woods and I seen that bear and that little one started coming and he was wanting to run. Well, it's just little ones. Like Kevin was saying, there's little ones. There's some big ones around somewhere.
Off around somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah. And Dusty took off running.
Yeah, I didn't know. I just
but he was he was a distance away. You had time to run. I mean, he came upon this bear, so that would be that would have been the worst thing he could have done. Would run, evidently. Oh my! Well, Psalms 91's working in his life. Praise God for that. That's great to hear. I mean, not that that happened, but you know that's working there. So. He said, I think most of us would probably either take flight or freeze. But look at what Samson instinctively did when he was accosted by the lion. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. Of course, that's Judges 14:6. Now that's taking authority. The hunter came at Samson, but found itself to be hunted. Sometime later, when Samson went by the same path again, he looked at the carcass of the lion he had torn apart and saw a swarm of bees and some honey in it. So he scooped out some of the honey with his hands and he ate it. It was from this experience that Samson came up with this riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. There is a beautiful picture here for all of us. Instead of being eaten by the lion, Samson obtained something to eat. And from this strong predator that had come against him, Samson received something sweet. What is the spiritual truth for us today? Out of every evil and negative thing the devil throws at you today, God will make something sweet for you. Your giants will be as bread to you. God will turn every bitter adversity into sweet honey for you. Wow. That's the love of God that can do that and can do it and will do it for us if we will, you know, trust Him. Trust Him to turn things around. Any comments before we go on to get ready to play offense?
I can't imagine any kind of strength that could tear apart a goat, just less, you know, I can't imagine any kind of strength like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I cut up whole chickens. I couldn't tear apart whole chickens.
Yeah, right.
You know, I can't imagine that kind of strength in any in the natural any man. And they go from goat to lion. It makes no difference to me.
Right. No matter what.
Yeah.
And as we get over a little further, we're going to say, I mean, our authority that we've been given us, it's a supernatural thing.
That had to be. I can't imagine that in the natural, anybody being able to do that.
Yeah.
That kind of strength.
I like it when we get over a little bit further and he refers to the size of Samson.
Yeah.
Do y'all remember seeing the... We all went together to Pennsylvania a couple of 3 years ago and went to the, what is that theater, Sight and Sound Theater, and it was on Samson. the story was on Samson, uh-huh. And the guy was portrayed as big and, you know, I guess that's...
Muscular.
Muscular, yeah. But you can't look at it in the natural because that was the supernatural, you know.
But he did have a natural blessing pronounced on him.
He did.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you can't discard that.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot.
To him, a goat might have been
doable. Know,
doable. Because he had that, you know.
But you know, when you say that, a supernatural blessing upon him, you know, because we're under the new covenant. We have the Holy Ghost living in us, and we have the anointing of God. You know, our giftings carry an anointing with us, you know, as well. But you know, Samson knew. That's a part of it. Samson knew, and amidst of his weaknesses and all, but you know, we have weaknesses too. But he knew. Well, anyway. I could think on this one for a while, couldn't I? Okay, get ready to play offense. Whatever team sports you follow, whether it's basketball or football, you would know that defense is vital. Without a good defensive strategy, a team will lose. However, you and I know that defense alone doesn't win the Super Bowl. It keeps you alive in the game and keeps you in contention. But defense alone doesn't win championship. The prayer protection in Psalms 91 has many defensive elements. We've talked about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, and taking the Lord as our refuge and fortress. We've seen how we are covered under His wings and protected by an angelic army. Now that we've got our defensive game covered, are you ready to play some offense? I'll be honest with you, I had to really think about this. Because he called, you know, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Mighty, taking the Lord as our refuge and fortress as a defensive place. I really had to think, and I really had to say, God, help me with this. Help me to see, you know, what is here. And, you know, and I believe He's helping me, and if you need that, He's going to speak to us here and help us to understand. Let's go on. Certainly there are times and seasons when the best thing to do is to take cover and allow ourselves to be sheltered. The Lord is our safe house, our hiding place, and our impenetrable fortress. And I love that we get to take refuge in Him. But the prayer of protection just doesn't end there. It also declares in verse 13, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underneath." That's taking an offensive position. That's going on the attack. That's taking authority. Anybody got any comments? You have any thoughts, revelation about the difference between offense and defense? I know what it's like in a football game or a basketball game, but in this, in Psalms 91, do you have anything that you want to add to it?
To be still preparing for things in the world, just like you do for ball games, in case things come up against you or happen, so you know how to do what you need to do to be safe or whatever.
Well, I think I don't know. Help us, Jesus. My mind, you know, I think I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, but it's revelation comes to the heart. And changes things. Okay, let's go on and see what he says. In the Gospel of Luke, we see our Lord Jesus sending 70 disciples out against the kingdom of darkness. He sent them out two by two as lambs among wolves. Have you ever seen a lamb overpower a wolf? Of course not. You see, this authority we're talking about is not natural authority. Like the lamb, you and I have no power in and of ourselves. The authority that I'm talking about is supernatural authority that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, just as the strength that it enabled Samson to tear apart the young lion was a supernatural strength. In all the portrayals of Samson I've seen, he's always depicted as a massive and muscular man. I personally think he could have been small and scrawny, but endued with supernatural power and might from God. And you know, that's true. We don't know what size he was, do we? I don't ever remember anything saying that he was... Kelvin, you know?
No, other than he had the... What was that? There's a certain denomination called that blessing pronounced upon him.
Nazarene.
No,
that's not it, is it? What's
the church going in the floor right there on the right? Okay. Maybe it's a Nazarite blessing.
Nazarite blessing.
Okay.
Nazarite. Yeah, that's...
But as far as size, I think we just relate that he had to have been... But he might have been little. He might have been little and scrawny, you know. And I think that's just the reason he says this is just to show this is a supernatural power. It's not dependent upon what size. I mean, even if he'd been a big, strong, whatever, he still couldn't have torn a line apart. No. I mean.
But he still could have had the natural strength to tear a goat apart with that blessing on him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There was something different about him.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There was an anointing there.
Yes.
On his life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But then we look at us, because there's something different about us. We're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become brand new. We're a peculiar people. Right. We're set apart. So, you know, it's just getting that in Christ mentality of this is who I am in Christ. You know, I remember Joseph Prince, I don't know, I was watching something maybe, and he had his Bible, I'll just do it this book, but he said, the way to see yourself in Christ is like to put a pen in this book, and he did it in this Bible, and you shut it up, and he said, you're hid in Christ. And I've remembered that, because it's like, you know, a person, if I would do this, and had, they wouldn't know that pen was in there. They might wonder, what? You know what I'm saying? You're hid. You're hid in that place. And because of that, you know, you have... I mean, we should see things differently. You know, we should act differently, see things differently. The world should be drawn to us. I mean, we are different. And we are different. And we're left here on earth for a reason. I mean, really, we got born again. We've all heard this. We could have went straight, you know, to heaven. But God has us here on the earth for one reason. It's for the harvest. And that, anyway.
Bill Johnson puts it away that helped me. It helps me focus.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's like taking your hand and sliding it into a glove, mm-hmm. that we're in Christ.
Yes,
Christ,
that's good. Yeah.
And so that's a cover. I mean, you're totally covered.
Yeah.
Your hand's totally covered.
Right.
We're in Christ.
Yeah. We're supposed to put on the new man.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's revelation. It goes back to that we talk about so much. But it's going back to having that revelation. I believe it's in this chapter. We'll get over a little further. He talks about taking the foolish things to confound the wise. You know? But let's go on here. Watching Samson take on the lion would have been like watching a lamb take on a ferocious wolf. Naturally speaking, the odds are stacked against the lamb. But we know that he who is in us is greater than any predator that is in the world. Amen. No wonder Samson was able to tear the lion apart with his bare hands. My friend, I really hope you're getting this. In Christ, you're far stronger than you think you are. Man, you know, I thought, Lord, I need to meditate on that. In Christ, I'm far stronger than I think I am. Because of the promises of God, you know, we can take a lot of promises and you know, talk about it. But he said, you may not look it or feel it, but God always uses, here, I was talking about it. God always uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise and the mighty. I mean, let me just say this. And he's not the only one. And I know somebody else God did this for. But Joseph Prince, when he was growing up and young, he stuttered. Who else stuttered that is a minister now?
Oral Roberts.
Well, he's not here now, but it was Oral Roberts. But Joseph Prince stuttered. I mean, who? Yeah. And, you know, and God delivered him from that. And he said when he was younger, when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you know, Oral Roberts did this too. He spent a lot of time praying in the Spirit. A lot of time praying in the Spirit. And he said, I just felt led to do that. And then it was some years later, and he said God showed him that the result, of course, we know this, of what he was walking in came from the praying in the Spirit. And he said, if I had known, I would have been scared if I would have known that God was going to open up what he's going to open up for me. But that was a result of that. Well, you know, Oral Roberts did the same thing. You know, when God put it on his heart to build ORU and something else.
Is it City of Faith or the Faith Hospital?
Yeah, whatever that's called. But anyway, I remember, you know, hearing his story that, you know, he would go out and he would walk on the land and pray in the Spirit, and he did that a lot. And then, see, God just opened up all of that. But for both of those men, it probably looked like foolishness because, you know, they stuttered. How are you going to stand before, you know, thousands of people and speak, or stand before 10 people? You know, God, we get caught up in numbers. God doesn't get caught up in numbers. But, you know, that was an example, you know, for that. I think God uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise and the mighty. Remember, the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. It's the Lord who ultimately determines who shall emerge victorious. And since the Lord is for you, who can be against you? I mean, that's... Yeah. I've heard Creflo say, there's some versions that say, if the Lord is for you, if the Lord is for me, who can be against me? He said, you take the if out. He said, you take the if out. It's not if God be for me, who can be against me. He says, it's since God is for me, who can be against me. And why is God for me? Because I'm in Christ. Not anything I've done, but, you know. And so he said, you take the if out. Look at the exchange between the 70 disciples and the Lord Jesus when they returned. The Bible tells us that they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That, my friend, is the power and authority we have as believers today. Any thoughts or comments?
I don't know. I hadn't finished this chapter reading, but I noticed there's a distinction in this that it says that you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. You have any thoughts on that? It's like there's a maturity, the lion and the cobra, and then it's kind of like it breaks it down to even a young lion and a serpent. You know, like it's...
I think lions are probably more dangerous.
You think the young lions more because they're...
young and stupid.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say young.
Yeah, or just
not being feared or something because they're young. Yeah.
Like the serpent that come out of the fire and likes to fall, you know.
And he just shook it off.
Right. I don't know. I just, when we started, I just seen that, that there was a distinction between that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it talked about any of that in the last part of the chapter.
It doesn't. I wanted to read you, let's go on. The enemy is beneath your feet. In chapter 5 of this book, we saw how Romans 16:20 declares that the God of peace will crush Satan. If you want to refer to that, it's page 68 where he talked about it. Do you recall where he will be crushed? That's right, underneath our feet. I like this part here. Do not put the devil on a pedestal as if he has dominion and power over you. He is a defeated foe. Sometimes we have a tendency to say, you know, well, we've got a neighbor, bless his heart. Bless his heart. If he don't have a good day, he says, the devil's been after me today. That's what he'll tell Dusty. He's dealing with some issues and sickness and whatever. He'll say, the devil's been after me. Dusty say, how you doing today? He said, the devil's been after me today. And I mean, you know, any thoughts about that statement right there?
Big or small, he defeated them all.
Big or small, okay.
But the enemy's not removed. I mean, you know, you think about it. You know, if a football team defeats another team, it doesn't mean that team's annihilated, gone, zipped off the earth.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
The enemy is still here.
And he'll come back for a more opportune time.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's... Well, I think of the scripture verse, I think it's in Psalm 69, that says, oh, magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. And Joyce Meyer says, what you magnify is what will become big in your life. And I think the point here is if you put him on the pedestal and you're magnifying, oh, the devil did this, and, you know, the devil's trying to steal my kids, and the devil, you know, my car broke down, and I think that's what he's talking about.
Well, we learned that in the last chapter, too, that when we worship God, then that gives angels, charge.
Absolutely.
So if we're giving honor to the devil, then what are we doing?
Yeah, well, they can't, they don't work.
And it's still a spiritual principle there.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. It's a spiritual principle. Mm-hmm. You know, we when we magnify God, anything that you magnify becomes big to you.
That's right.
If you stumped your toe and you magnify it, it'll become really big. You know what? You break your arm. I started with the toe because I thought that's not, but sometimes a stumped toe is really painful. You know, but anything, for an example, there was a little something that came up. It was a family thing, and you know, there might be this and there might be that, and it's personal, so I won't share it. But anyway, I thought, and this is what I did, and I know better to do this. I got on my phone, and I looked up symptoms of such and such. And by the time I got done, and I never do that. But this, you know, when it comes to somebody close to you. So anyway, and so it just got kind of really big. And I just got really cross and aggravated. And I went out and was talking to Dusty. He was sitting on the porch. And so and we were just talking about just a little bit. And I said, I'll see you later. I went and I sat down. And I had to get the word out to get that off of me. And I start magnifying, you know, and I just went to certain scriptures and everything, and I did, and spent time praying in the Holy Ghost. And I thought, this is the way I need to handle this, not look up on internet symptoms, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of an example of this. And it was like, and it was only by the grace of God that I could do that. And if I hadn't done that, I think I'd still be carrying it around. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the devil wants us to carry things around and let them get big in our mind. And when it gets big in our mind, then it's, you know, going to come out of our mouth even more. So, You know, he is a defeated foe. I think, well, gosh, we just remind ourselves of that. He is a defeated foe.
That's
not because
your
focus
of... has to be.
Excuse me?
That's where your focus has to
yes,
be.
Yes, it is. You know, and it's not because of... In my life, he's not a defeated foe because I've read my Bible today or I've prayed or anything that I've done, but it's because of the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Now, is it important I read my Bible and pray? Yes.
Absolutely.
But... You know,
because you won't be able to stand in faith if it's not if the word's not big on the inside.
That's right.
I mean, if it's not bigger than the circumstances, then you won't be able to.
That's right.
Put the enemy in his place and the word of God in the right place.
Yeah, you can't. And at that point, that you know, when that hit me, that was just you know, I guess probably a deficit there or whatever. Or it's just like I say, you know, when it's personal and close and that kind of thing. And then it was just like I just said, I'm just thankful that I didn't let it go on. And I just had the opportunity to just kind of nip it in the bud. And but he's the defeated foe. His proper place is not to rule over you, but to be beneath your feet. And see, in that situation, he was wanting to rule over me in those circumstances. And because... And I can tell you, there's many times I have not done this. And I've carried it for a few days or however long. But anyway, then I think in doing that, then I was able to put him under my feet. You see? And I'm learning in this, you know, I think maybe mentioned it last week. It's more than just saying, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I mean, that is important. But it's having the word that you speak out of your mouth too into that situation. It comes, you know, they come together, and it's important to put him under, you know, our feet. And that's Galatians 3:15, Ephesians 1:22. You are not at the mercy of the enemy's attacks. That is another key statement, I believe. Do you ever get up one day and, you know, from the time your feet hit the floor to you go through the day and there's those thoughts that, you know, those accusations that kind of keep coming? And I think, you know, it's just like when it came against Jesus. It was several and then, you know, the angels, he left, Satan left, and the angels ministered to Jesus. And it said, until a more opportune time. And so we just need to know. And I think it's good to say, I am not at the mercy of the enemy's attack. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I think that's another way. You put the enemy under your feet that way. And you can say, devil, you're under my feet. It's what Terry Savelle Foy says. We have an enemy, and you got to learn how to fight. We're learning how to fight. Be on the offensive, like we read over here. Who's going to tread upon the lion and the cobra? Who's going to trample them under our feet, under your foot? It's us. We're going to do it. Remind yourself that in Christ you are far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Of course, that's Ephesians 1:21. And every lion and serpent you shall trample underfoot. Do you want to see how you can take authority over your situation? And that's by standing on the Word of God. And we can read this. Some of you may not have read this testimony. I'll read it really quick. It's good. My husband had surgery for hiatal hernia. It was a simple procedure where a piece of mesh was inserted into the affected area. He was able to return home the same day. However, he became increasingly unwell after he got home. He was feeling very bloated, had a lot of pain, and was running a fever. He was admitted back to the hospital, and we spent the next week there. It turned out that a bowel obstruction was causing all of his problems. Another surgery was planned. Honestly, we felt very discouraged and defeated at that point. Then I remembered learning a few weeks earlier from Joseph Prince about how Christians should take charge and command symptoms to go using the Word of God. Those are key. We've been taught that. I don't think I've quite heard it. We should take charge. But, you know we command symptoms to go by using the Word of God. But I like that part. Take charge. You know, the discouragement and the defeat was trying to take charge.
And that's what you did when you finally came.
That's true.
You took charge.
I came to my senses. Yeah, I took charge. That's good. Yeah. Okay. It's like, okay, I got to take charge here. When situations come at us and, you know. Oh, that's good. It's up to us to take charge. God won't do it for us. He's given us the authority. And we take charge of that situation.
Well, I think he kind of bubbles up the word on the inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Puts you in remembrance of things.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is, now just to show you how this works, the funny thing about it is, you know, Dusty was up. He was outside on the patio. I like to sometimes just lay in the bed in the mornings and just pray. I like to do that if I have the time to do it. And so I've been praying about this situation, and I kept having the thought, you need to look it up and look at the symptoms. Well, I, honest to Pete, I thought that was the Holy Ghost.
I'm sorry. Well, the enemy comes like an angel of light.
Yes, I really did. Well, now, am I the only one in this room that has looked on Google at what the symptoms may be causing? I really did think that it was the Holy Ghost. And so I'm looking at it, and I thought, okay, maybe this is the answer. This is the answer. Yeah. And but then I guess where the rubber met the road was, I mean, then as I got up, man, I mean, all kinds of negative things started coming at me. You know, and it was just like worry, you know,
worry, dread, fear.
Negative things. You know, the Holy Ghost is not ever in that. And it was like, you know, I don't need to know the symptoms. I need to know the Word, because the Word is greater than... Now, y'all know there's a balance here in what I'm saying. Y'all understand that. It's not that... Anyway, do you get what I'm saying? For me, it became a real battle in my mind. And a lot of what-ifs and hows. But that was a fiery dart. I realized that later. That was a fiery dart. And I took charge. Well, let's see what happened to this man. She said, I told my husband about it, and we prayed, speaking God's word. I also commanded the bowel obstruction to be gone in Jesus' name. Later that night, my husband went for a series of abdominal tests. These were tests that the hospital had been conducting twice daily since his admission to benchmark his progress. The next morning when the tests were being done, again, my husband started feeling great and announced that he was going home. The doctor was thrilled with his huge turnaround and told us that the blockage, which had been detected in all the other tests done previously, was not found in the last two tests. So my husband was discharged and we went home. Praise the Lord for his protection and his healing. It's a tremendous testimony. And I guess we can see from that, they went on the offensive. They took charge. And they commanded symptoms to go by using the Word of God. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how Giselle did not take flight or freeze when she came under attack, even though as a couple they felt discouraged when they heard the doctor's report. She quickly put into practice what she'd heard him teaching about exercising our authority through using the Word. She and her husband prayed, speaking God's Word over his body. She commanded the negative symptoms to go in Jesus' name, as the Apostle Peter did in the book of Acts. That, my friend, is how we go on the offensive against the enemy. And we'll stop there. Any comments? Well, let me finish that sentence. How offensive against the enemy. Go on the offensive against the enemy today. We wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our authority, our strength, and our victory are found in His Word. Praise God.